T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks for hanging out with us here on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp with you. Kramer filling in for Nick Schwert today. We'll get to all 32 in the NFL. Some big news out of Chicago. That's coming up in 10 minutes or so. We've talked a ton about this defense. It's going to continue to be under the microscope for quite some time until they certainly show some improvement, some progress. You heard from Jaron Reed earlier on in the show live here on 610, and he talked about how they're pissed off and how they are going to go and upset with their first two performances. They're going to get back to some of the fundamentals. But it's, in your mind, not just that who bears responsibility, not just the player. They ultimately bear the most. But you believe there's someone a little bit higher up in the organization.
They do bear the most. And Spagnuolo, I've liked as a defensive coordinator, but he's never had a great defense yet, right? Overall. In the 3 years he's been the defensive coordinator, they were certainly better than they were in 18. But they weren't, they were great late in 19, which really matters. And it helped them win a Super Bowl. I'm not ignoring that. They were, not great last year.
Post-Titans game a couple years ago. Yeah.
They were not great last year. And then they were, they've been a miserable start to this season. So I know Spags wears some of this too, but we shouldn't ignore Brett Veach because he built it. The one reason he built it. He drafted these players. He pays a lot of these players for the top five paid players on the entire team this year based on cap hit or defensive players for a unit that is never going to be able to live up to the offense. I think that's partially some of the times we're extra hard on the defense.
It's always going to be the weakest.
Because you can't. I don't need them to live up to the offense, though. I don't think you and I are unreasonable here. If you are the 14th best defense in the NFL, I'm good. I got no complaints for you. I'll still nitpick some stuff where I think you can get a little bit better, but I'm not out here to, get the pitchforks out. But if you're dead last in points or yards per game or rushing touchdowns allowed, just, multiple things where they are dragging well behind the rest of the league, then it's fair to ask how it got built. The one big excuse, and there's two big excuses I think Brett Veach has in this department for hey, this is how it happened. This is how the defense still has weaknesses that we can't all fix all at once. One, cap. It was correctly pointed out on the text line earlier that the cap was smaller than it was supposed to be. They couldn't have anticipated that. They believe it or not, when Brett Veach was making this plan in 2018 or 2019, he probably didn't think there was going to be a deadly pandemic that massively affected everything. So I give him some weight there. And the other part is, he actually fixed the thing we wanted more fixed. If I could have told you this offseason, Gold, they could spend their money on pass rusher and linebacker or fix the damn offensive line, what would you have chosen? Fix the offensive line. That's where I let go. But he is responsible for the group that is on the field.
I mean, you just pointed out the two biggest things, the reason why I don't think after 2 weeks this should be, oh my goodness, Brett Veach, look at the mistakes he has made. I think that's crazy after 2 weeks. Of course, he bears some of the responsibility. But to me, to have the general manager mistake conversation 2 weeks into the season based off defensive performance, to me, is kind of crazy. It is potentially going to be something that down the road becomes an even bigger problem for them. If we sit here and it's the end of the season and the defense, this is what the defense is, and we are able to look back and say that's what prevented them from going to a Super Bowl, absolutely, trust me, there will be plenty of time for
then
that type of
conversation.
Then it's
a glaring problem. Yeah.
But one, we also know in 2018, when this defense was about the same as what it's looked like for 2 weeks,
sure,
so far, yeah, they had the best offense in football, but this offense also has looked very, very good early on. Still looks like a top two or three offense.
I think it's the football offense in football this year.
And it, so far through 2 weeks, I think they're second or third in a couple categories, right? But their offense is fine. Their offense is rolling, no problem. The offensive line looks fantastic. So I think it's just way early for me to go ahead and say, oh my goodness, these first 2 weeks are all because of the decisions that were made in the offseason. You highlighted two things that I think are very. I think it's you highlighted. Yeah, but the year part, the salary cap is a massive part of it.
Yeah, it matters.
And let's not forget. Yes, the contracts were signed a couple years ago, but guys that they signed on those contracts, multiple of them were reasons why they did win the Super Bowl. And so you're right. It's a long term outlook when you sign guys to 3, 4, 5 year deals. I'm with you. The Frank Clark deal, we've had this conversation 100 times. I think everybody agrees that the Frank Clark contract is the biggest thing weighing this team down now in terms of finances. And there's nothing we can do about it right now. He has to perform. He's still not 100%. He has to perform in certain situations. You just got to hope that he's able to bring something to the table. The entire defense really didn't bring anything to the table last week against the Ravens. But at the time, that contract without Frank Clark, yes, they had a very good team, but we all know what postseason Frank Clark and Super Bowl. So that contract, while the dollar amount is way out of whack, they paid him to be a much better player than what he actually is. We agree there. The notion that now you're paying the price for it, we'll see as the season goes on. I think it's more about where the cap was. They were factoring in. It's not like Brett Veach and the cap, as smart as they have been to finagle all these
other
deals,
the number was coming.
That they didn't know that they knew this number was coming. I think nobody could have predicted a pandemic, right? That factors in here. You're correct that the one move this offseason that they did make defensively, I will say this, it's still only 2 weeks we have to see, is the Jaren Reed acquisition. That was their big one they made on the defensive line. Andy Reid talked it up all offseason. It's kind of the key of what they were able to do to me to be able to move Chris Jones
because they didn't do
to the
anything
outside.
Else.
But it's just 2 weeks of it. That's what I would say. I'm not ready to say, man, the offseason defensively was a failure because they've never spent a ton of money in the cornerbacks, and it's always worked. They didn't do that this offseason.
It's actually started to work so far this year.
Yeah, but you and I differ on that. I think the corners, you're right, have been fine, but they've been much like...
Not tested.
Much like I say, we need to relax on this is going to be the worst rushing defense in football. They faced two of the best rushing attacks. Because they faced two of the best rushing attacks, these teams haven't tried to go deep and they haven't tried to force the issue passing the football too much because they haven't had to. So I think some of this all balances out.
The part of the scare thing for me is what you're describing with the defense. Like, maybe it won't work, and you're right, the money, and they got a Super Bowl out of it. But we've said before, I am not satisfied with one Super Bowl. I am not going to be satisfied with one Super Bowl over a 6 or 7 year run with Patrick Mahomes playing the way he plays. That is an unacceptable number. Maybe it shouldn't be. Maybe that's setting the bar too high. But at this moment, it is an unacceptable number.
That's the name of the game when you have the talent they have.
And they could be looking at a total defensive rebuild for the second time in 4 years. That ain't great, man. We're talking about 3 years. In 2019, they completely rebuilt their defense. They brought in a whole bunch of new players. They brought in a new defensive coordinator. They brought in free agents. They traded for players. They gave up contracts in the middle of that time. At the end of this year, what happens if they don't re-sign Matthew, let Hitchens go, walk on Frank Clark? They've got multiple other guys in the defense, including Sorensen and Neiman, who are really just on the final years of their deal. So what? We're talking about 7 new starters and 11 guys? 6 new starters and 11 guys? So we got to go through full-blown defensive rebuilds twice in 3 years? I'd like a little more consistency than that. Bad teams do those kinds of things on offense all the time, and it's like, you're like, what are you doing? You got to do this again? You got to start from scratch again? That doesn't mean the Chiefs won't be great. They have Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid in that offense. They're not going anywhere as far as major threats in the AFC. This should in no way be taken that way. This is about rings. The conversation I'm having is about, does it stop you from getting a ring?
Yeah, and
I do not think that's the case yet.
No,
I am not there.
I mean, I think 2018, they didn't that AFC title game. They still got to with a horrific defense. So that's why I laugh at some of the conversations.
But could they have gotten a ring if they could have just gotten a stop in the overtime instead of letting them march down for a touchdown?
For sure. I just think if after two games we're already saying it's going to be just like 2018, to me,
that's just
way too big of an overreaction. Now, if that's still the case here, 3-4 weeks from now again. You know, that's much more valid.
When I'm going to start really,
and even then though, Cody, even then I would, you'll probably still hear me saying,
There's time to fix it.
Well, look who they played. I mean, we can't forget all offseason. We talked about the schedule when it got released and how exciting it was and all this, but look at the first five or six games and look at the opponents that they're facing. Like, so let's factor that in this whole entire equation. Yeah, these are the type of teams that they're going to have to play in the postseason, but they're far from their finished product defensively. I really believe that. I'm not saying they're going to leap up and suddenly be a top 10 defense. No, that's not possible, but I'm not convinced they're going to be the 30th, 31st, or 32nd defense in football. And I just don't think that's possible. To me, they have too much talent defensively for that to be the case. I really believe that.
I actually went back and looked because I was curious. Yeah, yeah. 2018, they were 24th in points per game, 31st in yardage. So they weren't the worst defense. It felt that way. My God, it felt that way.
Well, look, Chris Jones, who we placed the defensive player of the year bet on and all this stuff, and he had two sacks in week one. He came up in big moments in that game when needed. That didn't happen against the Ravens. He has, if this defense is going to have challenges, and it appears they are,
Tim,
right? He's got to be a guy that steps up if he wants to continue and be in that conversation of some of those truly elite guys. He's got to step up and make the plays when nothing's going right defensively. The one or two plays a game that can seal it, because that's all you needed against Baltimore. One more play, one stop, one sack of Lamar Jackson to put him back behind the eight ball. That's all you needed. That's all. They still had a chance to win the game despite all of that happening.
Yeah,
that's
Clyde still, just doesn't fumble it. They do.
I mean, that's the one that gets magnified for obvious reasons. But this team as well, like going forward the rest of this season, I think it's not one player, it's one fix. It's not one player that could fix it. But I want to see them when they're fully intact too. And they're still not fully intact. I'm not saying that Willie Gay Jr. is going to be the savior, but at the very least, before we can say that this is this finished product, how about we see what they look like with everybody that's possible to play?
I would like that, yes.
And hopefully it's next week for Willie Gay, although maybe it's going to be the Buffalo game because they might go ahead and sit him out for the Philly.
Had surgery this week on some minor fatty tissue.
Minor tissue surgery. Hopefully it's just a little go in, go out, little whatever. I don't know. If you and I got minor tissue surgery, I'll see you guys in 3 weeks, you know?
I was looking up the recovery on if I have to have foot surgery. I mean, it's like for the kind of foot surgery that I have, it's like 12 weeks.
To walk?
In crutches.
Oh, well, you can come into work, though. You
know, I'm not saying I'm taking it off. Yeah. Jeez, relax. I come into work?
Yeah,
I'm taking a week.
I'd get a wheelchair instead of those crutches.
Ooh, nice. That is cushy.
You want a wheelchair instead?
Yeah, what? That sounds. Have you been in crutches before?
No,
it sucks.
No. Oh, God, man. They're just the worst.
Just your armpits. Oh, man, it's terrible.
You got to, like, wrap towels on it. Makes you just look even dumber.
And then you get, like, the rubber that sticks to your
hands.
Although,
in fairness, I imagine a wheelchair getting in and out of the car is going to be impossible.
I mean, you could probably still hobble a little
bit. That sounds impossible. Like, putting crutches in the car is the way this is going,
I feel like we're going to be sitting here doing the show, hopefully, you know, 3 years from now, and Cody's still going to be talking about the foot surgery he needs. Like, I feel like
good
that's
news
where...
is, I think it's, like, based on the timeline, it should be like a week until I get the extremely fancy custom orthotics that are supposed to remedy, that could, not supposed to, solve my problem without surgery. I like the non-surgical option first, Kramer, if I can.
Oh, yeah, always.
All right, let's get to all 32 in the NFL. I'm starting with Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold looks good.
He looks fine. Yeah, good is too
strong. He looks good. I didn't think he looks great. I didn't say he looks elite. He looks good. And you know I've been a little bit more of a Sam Darnold believer as well. And I like what I've seen. I'm convinced that he was with the worst possible coaching staff in the National Football League his entire career to start off, which was in New York. Not given a chance. No weapons. He's got the best weapons he's ever had. I like Matt Rhule as a head coach. We all think Joe Brady's going to be a head coach here very, very soon as an offensive mind in this league. And so, look, he's not going out there and throwing for 354 touchdowns. You're right. That nobody's saying he's a top five or top 10 quarterback. But before, people thought he was complete garbage. He's been consistently...
It's 2 weeks.
What? Okay, now you want to hold on. Now you want to be
Wait,
Mr.
Now you don't want to be that guy.
Now you want to be
2 weeks.
Now you want to be 2 weeks, Mr. Defense is in huge trouble and gonna suck all year.
I got 20 weeks of evidence of defense. The last 20 weeks of Sam Darnold is he stinks. I only got 2 weeks of evidence of he's a decent
Sam Darnold is with a new coaching staff and a new team.
Yeah.
2 weeks. Sam Darnold, the Panthers are 2-0. They're going to be 3-0 after they win tomorrow night against Davis Mills. I think I'm going to have to pick.
Sounds like the kind of guy taking them in Survivor.
I think I'm going to have to take Carolina, even on the road in Survivor tomorrow. 12:30, by the way, we'll make those picks. But look, he's 584, three touchdowns and a pick. He's managing the game. He's not making some of those same mistakes. And he's led his team. This is stuff where, with the Jets, he just had no chance. He's not going to end up. He's never going to be a top 10 quarterback. That's not what I've ever said about Sam Darnold.
You just think he can be serviceable.
In middle of the road, no different than a guy that wins 9-plus games. He can be a 9-10 game quarterback winner, winning quarterback in this league. I told you, I think the Panthers will be a wild card team this season. Sam Darnold keeps playing like this. That won't be, with that schedule mixed in, they have an absolute chance to do that. I've been impressed with what the Panthers and Sam Darnold, give the man some credit. People wrote him off.
They got a good shot at being 3-0. I'm not going to give him credit after 2 weeks of decent quarterback play. He is on pace for almost 5,000 yards passing. With 25 touchdowns. Very Derek Carr-ian performance. Next up, for the all 32, I'm going to go with Justin Fields. Now, I want to say this first. I really enjoyed covering Matt Nagy in Kansas City. I've enjoyed his company during those times. I think he's actually done quite a bit in Chicago without a quarterback under any circumstance, really, in the early going. Justin Fields is a starter this Sunday. If you didn't see that news from Adam Schefter, Andy Dalton will not be able to play due to his injury, which means Justin Fields will be the starter. Nick Foles will back him up this Sunday. He has, however, said that Andy Dalton is still his starter when healthy. If he ever goes back to Andy Dalton, they should fire him on the spot. That's a stupid thing to do. This is how it works in the NFL. Dalton is hurt. Fields is the starter. Injury gave you the excuse to start the guy, so you didn't do Andy Dalton wrong. It does not matter if Justin Fields throws 9 picks on Sunday. He should be the starter the following Sunday. By the way, the Jets, you were mentioning how bad. It's not just the coaching staff they were having with. Did you see that stat? They're only 4. This was courtesy of Kevin Clark, by the way, who had Alex Smith on. He was talking about bad quarterbacks. There are 4 rookie quarterbacks in NFL history to have a game in their first year where they went 4 interceptions and no touchdowns and less than 250 yards. The last 3 were Jets quarterbacks. They were Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson, and Mark Sanchez. Incredible franchise run of quarterback ineptitude. But you can't go back to Andy Dalton ever again, right?
Yeah, not now. No,
he claims he will. He's threatening he will.
If Fields goes against, you know, if
Fields, especially the Browns defense,
against a good Myles Garrett and Browns defense, and he throws, let's say, 2 touchdowns for even 260 and a losing effort.
If it's 260 and 2 picks in a losing effort, yeah. I don't care.
The only way Fields that shouldn't start next week against Detroit is if he gets hurt, number one, or if he's Zach Wilson and he throws 4 picks. That's it. Otherwise, stick with Fields.
Zach Wilson is still starting?
Yeah, but they have no. They just don't even. That's been their plan all along. Thank goodness.
I know it should have been the Bears' plan all along.
Who's the backup to Wilson?
Exactly.
He's equally as good as Andy Dalton is right now, whoever it is. Current Andy Dalton? I didn't say career. This is not like my consistent attacks on Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah. The backup, by the way, is Mike White.
Who?
Come on, now don't be trashing Andy Dalton for that. Right, Mike White?
All right, you're probably
Mike
right.
Mike White? Who the hell is you could have made that name up? Who
I
the
said
hell
that is Mike very White? I said that very flippantly.
Who's Mike
I have
White?
No idea who
he's
Mike White is.
He's 26 years
so
old.
So Andy Dalton's definitely better than Mike White.
I don't know
who the hell Mike White is.
Mike White has been on Dallas and the Jets.
I do not know who that
Western
person is.
Western Kentucky's Mike White.
You could have made all of this up. And I thought he would have been the quarterback transfer if you were playing a new edition of NCAA football that you were trying to get on your Kansas squad gold.
It's like it's the create a player default. Mike White's the guy's name.
It's like Joe Random.
He's 6'2", 220.
John Dowd
from
Triple Play Town, Baseball, MVP Baseball.
He's from every town USA.
Uh-huh.
Zip code 55555. Yeah, okay. I'll give Dalton credit over that.
From all 32, instead of bragging about the autumn wind coming in, Matty Ice is directly... He's ice now. Matt Ryan is just terrible. I don't understand. There's so many targets out there with Pitts, yet Ridley. He's not doing anything. Yeah, the Falcons are literally the bottom feeders over in the South. So, yeah, no, it's just terrible.
Should he? I mean, we got to talk retirement with Matt Ryan?
He needs to.
Like, as late as guys are playing into their career right now, doesn't it actually feel kind of early on Matt Ryan? Normally speaking? He's 36 years old. Under normal old quarterback rules, I would tell you Matt Ryan definitely at that stage. He'll pick up with one more team, won't he? After his Atlanta time, he'll pick up with one more team.
I thought this would be his last year and he'd go somewhere, but it is like, how bad is it going to get this year for him?
He's going to be the Colts starting quarterback next year.
God, the Colts keep just going through the rivers. Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan train. Oh my goodness.
My prediction now for next year is that Matt Ryan is the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. I just want to put that out
on paper. Or Denver Broncos.
Now. God, is that an upgrade? Like, they need to be, both those teams need to be drafting quarterbacks. They need to start being in that business.
I mean, still could be, he could be starting in Washington next year. Unless
there's nobody taking a backup job. Maybe just sits it out until a quarterback gets hurt. Starting quarterback gets hurt, Matt Ryan to the rescue.
Matt Ryan could end up in Minnesota next year, right? What's Kirk Cousins' situation contract? He's got one more year left, I guess, on his deal. Yeah. Never mind, he's got $45 million.
His deal's so untradeable.
Kirk Cousins will be the starter in Minnesota next year. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens to Matt Ryan. That's all 32 in the NFL. So I mentioned that I don't get what's happening at KCI Airport. We know the new airport's coming in 2023.
Can't wait.
So I'm sitting there on Saturday before I fly out. It's Saturday in the middle of the afternoon, and the one bar in the security area at the Southwest Terminal, Stella Artois Bar, closed. Next to it. Not that I would have got it, but there was a Pizza Hut bar. Stand closed. Have they just given up? Have they just said, you know what? It's 2023. I'm giving up. We're just going to move on. It seems like the KCI airport has given up until the new terminal is done at this point. Like on Saturday afternoon, everything's closed. And then I see today, it was Dave Helling over at the KC Star reporting that there's this a lot of controversy with the new airport on the bidding for like the concessions and what vendors are going to be allowed in. There's not to go down that road. There's a lot of controversy. You can listen to KNBZ for that. But,
to find out, let's get into concession stand controversy.
But Dave Helling brought up that under the new proposal, Chick-fil-A is out of the new airport. What are we doing? We're already starting off on a bad foot here. We're trying to have a nice new airport here in Kansas City. Any of the good airports in the country, you know, they got a little Chick-fil-A. Why are we kicking the Chick-fil-A out of the mix here? Look, ultimately, let's have some local KC barbecue in there. Let's be good. And they better not put like a national, regional chain barbecue place. Like, I don't want to see a Famous Dave's or a Dickie's in there, please.
You're running local?
That'll be ridiculous. We need a local.
That's not how airports work.
But Chick-fil-A. Yeah.
He's like, I don't want any of these national chains. I want Chick-fil-A. You know, there are local chicken and burger joints. Why don't we put Go Chicken Go in the Chick-fil- airport?
Every
Why don't we put Go Chicken Go in the airport?
Like let's get some gizzards. Like every good airport has a Chick-fil-A in it. What are we blocking Chick-fil-A out for? It's usually the longest line at the airport for a reason. That and McDonald's. I want the local stuff, but Chick-fil-A, why are we kicking them out of the airport bidding process here? Come on.
First, the giving up on the old airport. Yeah, obviously, and they should.
Yes.
There's just no reason to hang on to that.
I couldn't even have a beer Saturday afternoon.
If I were the proprietor of the Stella Artois Bar, which I think is the one you said you were trying to go there. And they said, you can be open on Saturday and make $18 off gold and nobody else.
Oh,
or you can just hang it up.
Bought beer. That's the big misconception. Other people would have bought a beer. The person next to me was trying to get a slice of pizza and it was closed.
I'm a firm believer that airport time does not matter. It's like the only time in my life that it'd be like 7:30 in the morning waiting for a flight to be like, you guys want to get a beer? Or when we feel the same? 7:30 in the morning, it doesn't matter. Like, we're going to get a drink, right?
People are saying, well, it's because they want to have max capacity of the retail spots. Chick-fil-A closed on Sunday. That's a fair point, but I would say, again, all these other airports have it. It hasn't stopped them. Is my only thing. Like, it's going to be fine. But I'm like, hey, what are we doing? When are we kicking Chick-fil-A out already? Come on.
All local, all the time. That's my pitch.
But you even just told me, we know there's going to be national chains inside the airport as well. So, like, Chick-fil-A is one of the bigger ones. I'm just surprised, man. Disappointed.
What's your next national place you want? Whataburger?
Of course. Yeah.
Is that your next?
Look, it's coming to Kansas City. By 2023, we'll have 20 damn locations built, I think. So might as well. If Patrick Mahomes wants a Whataburger in his airport, then he gets one.
He doesn't fly out of an airport.
I know he doesn't. He get one over at Johnson County Executive or Downtown Airport, one of those two.
He doesn't fly at any regular airport anymore.
Get a Whataburger just right there when he lands, please.
He's got enough money to just have like.
And people are bringing up the backstory on Chick-fil-A. I'm well aware. Yeah, we're not going to get that conversation. I acknowledge that might be part of the thought process. But again, I would argue other places still have Chick-fil-A in the airport.
Not this one, man. We're better than that. We're going to get other chicken spots in this airport.
What are the four places you think need to be in there? Food-wise. Give it to them right now. Give it to me.
I just want a variety of food options. Give me a Mexican place. Give me a pizza place. You know, like, that's all I really care about in an airport. Like, sure. Give me a Chinese place. Give me an Italian place. Just give me four
Chinese
different...
Chinese is a no-go for me at airports. I don't know. I just stay away. I'm about to hop on. I just, yeah, it's a no-go for me.
Of you course, there's got to be a... hop on the
there
plane?
Needs to be... This might stun all of you. There needs to be a Chipotle in the damn airport as well.
Okay.
Has to happen.
Yeah, they
if you're going to tell me that there's in our new airport in this town, great city, we're not going to have a Chick-fil-A or a Chipotle in our new airport.
You're going to be disappointed.
Come on.
Just imagine those inflated prices, too.
Well, that's just that this goes with
that
it.
I just accept.
That quarter pounder suddenly
$10. That's like the beer
$10.
At 7:30 in the morning. I don't even look where you'd be like, yeah, all right, $72 for that hot dog? Yeah. I mean, that's the price, right? Press the price.
Yeah, that's expected. Just like, you know, you go to a, yeah, you go to a sport, like Cody said, you go to a sporting event, you know what the beer is going to cost you. You know, that beer could be $5 somewhere else. It's going to cost you $13 at the game. It is what
I know
it is.
I pay, yeah, I know I pay $9 for a six pack at the gas station, and then I pay $12 for one beer. I just accept prices at different places without thinking about it. Like, man, this is life. That $15 airport beer, 7:30 in the morning, I've just accepted my fate in this world.
Coming up next here, we'll get to what's trending, and I think the Chargers could be the solution for some of the Chiefs' defensive problems.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics trending.
Number one on What's Trending, brought to you by the Kansas City Renaissance Festival. Tickets at kcrenfest.com. Justin Fields will start for the Chicago Bears against the Cleveland Browns this Sunday. Matt Nagy making that announcement. Andy Dalton out with a knee injury. He, of course, says Andy Dalton's still the starter, but we'll let that performance on Sunday dictate that. I think we've seen this kind of stuff happen time and time again in the NFL. If Justin Fields looks good at all on Sunday, there's no chance Matt Nagy can go back to Andy Dalton. Could you imagine if he were to win a game, number one, or just look good? But if Justin Fields wins
the game against Cleveland,
come on, Andy Dalton, you lost your job, buddy. You knew that going in. Justin Fields is the answer long term there in Chicago. It's a week earlier than I thought we would see Fields, but it's an injury. I thought next week against the Lions would be when we see Fields, but Andy Dalton can't play. He's hurt, so they have no choice. Matt Nagy has no choice but to start Fields on Sunday.
Next up on What's Trending, speaking of coaching ineptitude, Vic Fangio dropped a light, nice little dime today. He said Urban Meyer has told him every week in the NFL, Gold, is like playing Alabama. Oh, my God. This Urban Meyer coaching hire is going horribly bad, just like everyone saw coming. Being a great college coach. And he was great. Like, what's funny about Urban Meyer is he did it through the ranks. He was good at Bowling Green. He was good at Utah. He was so good at those jobs, he got the Florida job where he was also good. He was good at Ohio State. Does not mean anything in the NFL. This is clearly a failure already. Just wrap this one up.
It's
you
been
have
a mess, man.
A generational talent is what scouting directors were saying about Trevor Lawrence. He looks awful. Awful in Jacksonville. Get him a real coach.
We're only 2 weeks into this thing.
And that's like,
awful. We're only 2 weeks into this thing, and Urban Meyer is like kind of like crying. You know, he's already like sending like notes out. Essentially,
he's like contacted his doctor about what kind of pass he can get now.
I still think he finishes the season. I know you guys disagree. I still think he makes it. I don't think
he'll be in USC at the end of the season.
I don't think. Yeah,
that job gets more attractive every day if I'm Urban Meyer.
He's in all likelihood not coaching them next year, but I still don't think he's going to, in this case, in the NFL, drop out midseason. I know he's done it in college. I don't think he'll do that this year. I know that's like going against what everybody thinks, and social media enjoys making the jokes every time Urban Meyer says something and all that, and it's like the cool thing. It's like the
things.
Cool thing to do, but I still think he finishes this season with
it. If they're 0-10, he's going to get fired.
They're not going to fire him because they won't fire him. No.
That's a lot of money they offered Urban to come be the coach. That was the screwed up part. They also paid him a lot of money to be the coach there. They thought, Florida, man, he'll be the hero here. We got Trevor Lawrence coming to town. Nature versus nurture, man. Turns out in the NFL, one of those things might matter.
Next up on What's Trending, not retired yet. How about former Chiefs punter Dustin Colquitt signing a deal with the Atlanta Falcons? We'll see where that goes, if it's just a temporary thing or not, but he is back in the NFL.
Good for him. Glad for Dustin.
Figured he was done.
So did I, but look, man, kickers.
I know.
You play a long
true.
Time in this league as a kicker. All of a sudden, your punter doesn't look so good. You might start thinking about
Atlanta
some
does
phone
have
calls.
To punt a lot with the way that offense is looking.
Yeah. You know, might need like might, three or four punters.
Yeah, they're probably thinking, man, our leg fatigue for our current punter. And we need to have Dustin ready to go on our practice squad, you know?
Keep everybody going. They got to rotate him out like defensive linemen over there.
Look, man, you've already punted it. You punted seven times last week. We're going to give you the week off. We'll let your leg heal for a week, you know?
Rest up. Next up on What's Trending, injuries continue for Big Ben, who said today he suffered a pectoral injury in their game on Sunday. He said that it hurts when he picks things up from the ground. He said he was dealing with it in the middle of the game. I would like to give him credit to be like, well, maybe that's why it looked like he couldn't throw the ball very well in the game on Sunday, but he was healthy the Sunday before that, and it didn't look like he could throw the ball, and he could play all last year, and he couldn't throw the ball. This is really big news because he was already having issues. A major pectoral injury in the middle of a season for Ben Roethlisberger ends his career. Not his time in Pittsburgh. It just hangs it up.
Yeah.
Like, this could be the end of Ben Roethlisberger, as you know. But he was already hanging on by a thread, in my opinion. A pectoral injury at this stage of the season is certainly not going to help that.
I know it's not directly related, like, just being in shape, but just all the stories in the offseason about Big Ben, like, best shape of his life and all this, and here he is 2 weeks into the season, he's hurt.
Hey, sometimes, man, it's like, who was it? Was that CC Sabathia? Played at a big weight his entire career, got skinny, couldn't pitch, and he's like, I got to gain weight again. I pitch better fat. He said that. Maybe Ben Roethlisberger just shouldn't have worked out.
Next up on What's Trending, we heard from Andy Reid earlier today. He mentioned that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is out sick, not with COVID. It's a non-COVID illness. Chris Jones dealing with a wrist injury. Derek Nnadi has a hip injury. Blake Bell, a slight ankle sprain. They are expected to practice in some capacity today. Also, Anthony Hitchens, minor tissue surgery, something they had to get taken care of. So that'll be the one really to watch, since it involved some sort of surgery. I know it's you know, you talk to people like, oh, it's minor surgery. There's
today.
No surgery that's technically minor, right? You're still a surgery. So
only
something
in the
to
NFL,
watch.
Though, you could have surgery in the same week you could play a football game.
Yeah.
So I can't rule it out. Lastly on What's Trending, the Kansas City NWSL women's soccer team will play all of their home matches next season at Children's Mercy Park. That's a big upgrade. Not that Legends Field's bad or anything, but that's a real soccer, you know, pitch for them to play on. I imagine that they're probably at some point going to work on trying to get their own field together. They're obviously, if you didn't see, they got those plans to build a huge training facility. Big comeuppance. They're obviously putting a lot of money. They got big plans for the women's soccer team.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold, brought to you by Kansas City Renaissance Festival. Tickets at kcrenfest.com. The Chargers just might be the solution to some of the Chiefs' red zone struggles. If not, it's going to look even worse because the Chargers have been last so far in 2 weeks in offensive red zone success. And we know the Chiefs have been last in defensive red zone success. Something's got to give on Sunday out at Arrowhead. This might, I'm sure the Chargers are feeling the same way out there in Los Angeles. Oh, man, this is our chance. Something's got to give here. We've struggled in the red zone, yet we have all these yards. Good thing we're going up against the Chiefs defense that's allowing everybody to score in the red zone. So both sides can make a case there. But something's going to give on Sunday. This is also why the point total is very high. It's the highest for the week, 56 points as the total in Vegas for the Chiefs and the L.A. Chargers.
Just it's a big number.
It is, but the Chiefs, I mean, look at the first two games. Chiefs scored 33. Their opponent scores. The opponent scoring high amount of points. We know the Chiefs this past week go over the total. I mean, so far, while they're not covering, the total has been going over in most of their games.
They're not covering. You mentioned they're 2-11 in their last 13 games of covering, which will be interesting come Friday when we go to make our show bet. I like tests where it really does give you a sense if one of these things is not like the other. In the Chiefs' case, they've also been giving up a lot of yards. You would think that this would be the get-right game for the Chargers because Chiefs have been giving up a lot of yards and have been bad in the red zone defense. The Chargers have been moving the football. They're fifth in the league in total yardage. They've been moving the ball on the ground. They've been moving the ball in the air. Neither one side. Mike Williams has been really good. Austin Eckler has been really good. They've shown, you know, they've shown some good signs this year offensively that they could be even better. To be that low in red zone feels like one of those they have to be better. What I think we'll probably see in this game, honestly, is the middle ground. Because if, because I'm not convinced that the Chargers can solve their red zone problem. To me, it seems like a get right game, but that's ignoring the offseason, which I refused to do the entire time we talked about the Chargers, Gold. They have a defensive minded coach, and their defense has been awful, by the way. Their defense has also been bad. They've got a defensive minded coach whose offense can't score in the red zone. That makes sense to me. That tracks. Because it takes creative play calling. It takes looking different than you normally look inside the 20. That's why Andy does a million different things inside the red zone and why he is generally a very successful coach inside the red zone. So, like, to me, I don't believe that their problem is just solved because they face Kansas City. I hope it's a get-right game for Kansas City. I could see it just being a 2-for-4, you know? They get in the red zone 4 times, which I would take.
Yeah, 50% versus 100. Yeah.
50% versus 100.
Yeah, that's where we're at.
50% makes you league average. 50%, like 55%, that's about where like the 15th ranked team in red zone defense touchdown percentage is, by the way.
Yeah, and I know you like we've gone back and forth on this over and over already in the first 2 weeks of the season. It's just that we all know like 100, that's some things just aren't sustainable. You can be bad, but just like how bad they've been, I don't believe is sustainable. I mean, that's with the red zone defense. I know they were dead last year. I don't think when this is
75%.
I don't think. Yeah. And it's so hard for me to look at it because we're 2 games into the season against 2 teams that most people think before the season, we're going to make the playoffs, have a chance to be contenders against 2 teams that have dynamic rushing attacks. Like, I just think that's where I pause a little bit. And let's see how this continues to go with a very front-loaded schedule. Let's see what happens going forward with this defense in particular. I mean, they're not playing the New York Jets and the Houston Texans week 1 and 2 of the season, giving up 400 plus yards on the ground and giving up 100% red zone touchdowns.
I don't think so either. I think opponents do really play a factor in this. But, you know, the Ravens were without multiple of their weapons. I mean, that wasn't supposed to be the juggernaut offensively. Now, Lamar Jackson was great. I mean, great in that game. And their problems largely in the red zone in the last couple of years could simply be focused on the fact they can't stop the run inside the 20. That is still the reason why they're not good in the red zone. It has nothing to do with the quarterback. It has everything to do with the fact that Lamar Jackson goes for 8 yards on first and 20 from the night or first and 10 from the 19. You can't give up that kind of chunk yardage running wise and expect to be successful inside the red zone. But I think that this is more of a get right game for Kansas City because I am not a believer. I think if you're a Chargers fan, you'd be like, oh, it's definitely getting better. Just like here in Kansas City, we're like, it's definitely getting better defensively. But honestly, if it's 50%, sure, it got a little bit better for you if you're the Chargers. But not as the level you were supposed to succeed at versus Kansas City in the red zone right now.
And again, when you say get right, you're talking about in the red zone, not as if it's an easy opponent.
No,
because sometimes, you know, people say it's a get
right
game.
The red zone.
Just in the red zone. Yeah, this is going to be, this is a Chargers team that I still think is very good, but this is an area.
Both these teams are very good.
And that's why it's a big game. It's a big game on Sunday. No question about that. Now, there's two teams in the AFC West, and for that matter, two teams, and the only two teams in the AFC that are undefeated, the Broncos and the Raiders. There's two teams in the NFC that are 2-0, the Carolina Panthers and the Arizona Cardinals. Over the last 5 years, we know 60% of teams who start 2-0 go on to make the playoffs. 26 of 43 teams who have started 2-0 went on to make the playoffs. So while it may look crazy when you see Broncos, Raiders, Carolina, and Arizona, two of them, there's a very good chance two of them are going to make it, or at the very least one in each one of these in each conference are going to make it. If I told you, if I asked you, who are those teams, what's your answer? Because Arizona's the best team of the bunch based on their quarterback, based off the roster. I believe that. But their division is super tough in the NFC West, the best division of football. We know what the Rams have looked like so far. Obviously, Seattle with Russell Wilson, and then the 49ers with Kyle Shanahan and what they've been able to do defensively so far this season. That's why it's like that. You would, if you just look at the surface, you're like, oh, it's Arizona. Duh. Not when you dive deeper. I think Arizona.
I still think it's
still,
them just because I think they're the best team.
They're the best team, but
of those
they're going to have to really, they're going to beat up each other. And if they almost need a 4-0 or 5-0 start to get some wiggle room for their schedule, because it's brutal for the Arizona Cardinals. I look at Carolina. I think they're going to be a wild card team. I think Carolina's going to get the 3-0 with a win tomorrow night against the Houston Texans, and I think Carolina's 3-0. Their percentage will jump up even more after that. I think they have a chance and will, based off their schedule and what Matt Rhule has done, and they're getting competent quarterback play out of Sam Darnold. I think the Panthers are a wild card team this year out of those four teams.
I think the Raiders are going to go. There's an extra playoff spot, too. That means I'm assuming three teams from the West are going to the postseason, probably. I honestly think it might be a battle between the Chargers and the Raiders. I'm not convinced the Chargers are a guaranteed 11-12 win team in the playoffs. The thing about the Raiders, if you look at their schedule, you mentioned the Cardinals' schedule. The Raiders' schedule is pretty favorable. Like, it's not that bad. Like, the AFC West is a little tough, right, because they got to get the Chargers twice and the Chiefs twice and the Broncos twice, who are currently 2-0, a team I do not take seriously at all. I would put them dead last, by the way, in the ranking system of teams I believe to do this, who are capable of doing this. But the NFC South is not murderer's row. So the Panthers have got to be in the conversation. Nobody in that division is like, oh, no. You know, like Tampa Bay, but nobody else in that division. Like Jameis, you don't know what the Saints are right now. They're a mystery. And the Falcons absolutely stink. I mean, stink out loud. They're bad. So I think it's going to end up being the Cardinals and the Raiders. And the reason why is because I think the Cardinals are the best team of the four. And I think the Raiders have one of the better schedules, are 2-0. Based on their schedule, they could easily be 3-0. They've got some light ones early. But I just think that they also are at least established. Like, the Panthers, this is all new. Let's not trust it. The Broncos, it's Teddy Bridgewater, banking on defense.
Oh, out of the entire bunch, the Broncos is the one I don't trust that at all. Yeah, I mean, their defense is very good, but is Teddy Bridgewater, like, I know Kyler Murray can lead a team to a victory.
And the Raiders have been a 500 team, right? So you're asking for him to be two games better than they've been in the last couple of years.
I know Derek Carr is capable of leading his team from behind. Make all the jokes we want about Kramer's Raiders, but we've seen it. I haven't seen it from Sam Darnold yet in Carolina, but I just look at their schedule and the fact that they're going to be 3-0 here in 24 hours or 48 hours. So, and then the Broncos, we just, like, Teddy Bridgewater, we know what Teddy Bridgewater is. And it's not a guy that's, you're down 10-0 early, that's going to lead the Broncos.
I'm not sure
they
can beat any of the other teams. They might go 0-6 in the division or 1-5.
I mean, the Broncos will probably win.
Do you see 3-3 in the Broncos?
No, but the Broncos will probably win a division game, though.
That's what I said, 1-5.
Yeah, they'll find a way to win a division game.
Okay, so they're 2-0, now they're 1-5. Let's be generous. Let's call it 2-4 in the division. I don't know if they get to two wins in the division. Let's call it 2-4. Now they got to dig out of
They're gonna win games though this year. I mean, we talked about this where with their decision
4-4 hole
with their decision making process to go with Teddy Bridgewater instead of Drew Lock. They're gonna win more games with Teddy Bridgewater. You're not taking them to the promised land, but they're gonna win more games with Teddy Bridgewater. He doesn't make some of the mistakes that I think Drew Lock made. I think that was part of the thought process for Vic Fangio. He's hoping he can save his job by winning 8 games this year. Let's say that might be enough. It's a good thing for the Chiefs, by the way, if let them win 8 games this year and think they're okay with Vic Fangio for another season. That's a good thing. It's a good problem.
No, it's fine. It's like the same as like when Anthony Lynn, I was openly rooting for the Chargers to hold on to him. Like, yeah, that's fine. No, you can hold on to Anthony Lynn. That's fine with me.
What's Kramer's answer, Mr. Raider over there, Mr. Sebastian Janikowski and the foot
fungus? Do you actually think the Raiders are making the postseason?
Yes.
Because they haven't in a very long time.
The only reason why I say yes to that is because every single season we've seen Chucky there, it's been an improvement. Every single year. Yeah, no, it has been. They were 4-12 the first year. It was 7-9 2 years ago, and they were 8-8 last year. So it's been an improvement. And plus, with Gus Bradley as defensive coordinator,
three years, it finally got to 500.
It's a little sneaky on Gus Bradley because I'm fascinated to see.
Yeah,
he has been the most successful defensive coordinator against Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was it personnel? Because the Chargers have got a lot of talent on defense. The Raiders,
they're
made
a lot
Max
better.
Crosby look good, I guess.
Yeah, Perriman, K.J. Wright stepped up last week against the Steelers. That linebacker core is completely rebuilt.
But I don't trust any defensive effort against the Steelers' offense because, again, I don't believe in the Steelers' offense because I don't believe in Big Ben. This all goes down to the same thing. It's the teams I take serious based on that.
They were also able to, beat Monday Night Football against the Ravens.
They have looked good. There's no doubt. The Raiders have looked – Carr's looked great.
Yeah, he's
Carr is capable of like playing. Like I think he's the 14th best quarterback in the NFL. Right under most circumstances, he's perfectly average. He's not the worst quarterback in the NFL. He's perfectly average to have around. He deserves to be a starter in the NFL, but he's not the starter you hope you have. But he is capable of playing into the top 10, depending on the year. I just don't know. It's like, is that going to continue all year? I know they're currently, but they've never finished better than third in the division. All of a sudden, they're a playoff. They haven't finished better than third in the division since 2016. It was the last time they went to the playoffs with Jack Del Rio in his first year.
Jack Del Rio.
Now, this looks like 2016 card. Hopefully, he stays healthy.
That's a big if with your boy.
We got a long ways to go till we see the Chiefs take on the Raiders. It's the schedule, of course, backloaded in that run. We got to wait until November 14th before the Chiefs will face off with Derek Carr. By then, I mean, that's the thing. Like, by then, so much... So
could
much
change.
Both with the Chiefs, but also are the Raiders in the mix still on November 14th? I still think it remains to be seen at that point.
The final word.
Thanks to Kramer for filling in today. Tomorrow, I don't know if you're filling in or not, but feel free to not wear a Raiders jersey when you
he
come
only
in.
He only owns two.
I got three. McFadden and Lynch.
What are the other two that you have?
Darren McFadden. I've seen that one.
McFadden and Marshawn Lynch.
Marshawn, that's the one.
That one, at least, I'm like, okay, I get it. I get that one. I understand that one. The kicker, though, Mr. Seabass, that just tells
player.
You all you need to know about the Raiders. The kicker was the prime for you guys there.
For a while. They spent a first-round pick on that guy.
Yes, they did. Yes, they
At least it went better
did.
Than whatever when the Cardinals chose that guy in the second, so...
Or the Bucks, the Aguayo or whatever his name was. Aguayo, I think.
I'd still take Janikowski over Jamarcus Russell any day.
We're back at it tomorrow from 10 to 2. We'll be talking with Byron Pringle tomorrow, 10:30 here on 610 Sports Radio. The Drive coming up next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.